Shabbat Shalom,
or Erev Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Parshat Ekev, the second parsha after Tisha B'Av, the second of the seven parshiot that bridge Tisha B'Av to Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, it's coming. It's one of what are known as the Sheva D'Nechmata, or D'Chamta, the 7 weeks of consolation, because the Haftarot especially are Haftarot of passages from the prophets that are consoling after the in the wake of the disaster Tisha B'Av. Truth of the matter is, when you look at you look carefully though at the parsha, it's not so comforting. There's something very, very, I won't say disturbing, but something very, very unnerving about the about it. It throws you off balance. And the reason is because it goes back and forth. It's almost like an emotional roller coaster. First you have passages that say, where Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Bevakasha, look at it, if you follow the ways of the Torah, and God gave you all these things, and you're going to get all kinds of rewards, and your circumstances in the land of Israel will be wonderful. However, don't worship idols, and be careful not to make a mistake, and be careful not to sin, because then you'll lose everything. But if you do everything one, if you do everything right, if you behave the way you're supposed to, then even more wonderful things will happen. And then, oh no! You be very careful. We have to check you. Well, you should always be on. You should always be on your best behavior. You shouldn't get carried away and assimilate to yourselves the ways of the Canaanites and the immoralities of all the other nations that are around you. However, there's all kinds of wonderful things that are waiting for you, and God's giving you. And this is the whole. It's up and down and a back and forth. You want to say it's a pendulum, or you want to call it a roller coaster. It's the same effect. It's very unsettling. That's the word I think. It's very unsettling. It actually gets the impression that Moshe Rabbeinu is he's nervous. He's nervous about what's going to be the fate. What will be the future behavior of the Israelites when they go into the land of Israel? It actually reminds me of the way a parent feels, and since I did this more than once, the way that a parent feels when they teach their child to ride a bike. How do you do it? I mean, after, you push your foot on training wheels, but after a certain point, what do? The parent goes riding with the child, the child's sitting on the bike, and the parent is holding the seat, and at some stage just let go, because the kid has got to learn to ride on his own. And I don't know who's more scared when you let go. Is it the parent or the child? The child will turn around and say, "Oh my God, I'm riding on my own because my daddy, mommy is way back there." Or it's the parent who is terrified that the kid's going to fall. I feel like this is Moshe Rabbeinu, terrified that the people are going to fall. What will undo them? What is it? What theme seems to come together, or seems to consistently be the cause of what might cause the Israelites, might cause the Bnei Israel to fall? I think, if you look very carefully, it's ingratitude. Because just before, consistently, just before the Moshe Rabbeinu expresses his concern that the Jews may end up sinning and then being punished, he goes on and on to say how wonderful God was to the people before that. So it seems to me, if that's the case, that the sin is, and this fits into other themes later on in the book, certainly in Dvarim. Certainly it is the underlying theme of the Song of Ha'azinu, but it finds very, very explicit expression here. You see, what is his fear? Ingratitude. But ingratitude that leads to arrogance. You'll forget God and say, "I did this." It's from our parsha that a well-known Israeli, almost good, Hebrew phrase emerges, Kochi votzim yadi asali et kol ha'chayil hazeh. That I did this, you know, so I did this, it was my efforts, my power, my smarts, my innovation, I did all of this, I get all the credit. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no. Ingratitude leads ultimately to self-aggrandizement. Self-aggrandizement is a form of idolatry. And that's the path to perdition. So the first lesson, I think, that underlies the entire parsha is the importance for gratitude and appreciation of what we have, and always being aware of the fact that it's not a question of kochi votzim yadi. Yes, we are the instruments of God's will, and we, if we don't make the effort, we will not achieve anything. But at the end of the day, everything we have is dependent. Interestingly, in a very subtle way, the commentaries picked up on this when they discussed the only actual mitzvah that's mentioned in the Parsha. The major mitzvah in the Parsha is at the end of the first Aliyah. It's chapter 8, verse 10. It's a well-known verse. V'achalta v'savata uveirachta t'shev lokecha al ha'aretz ha'tova asher natan lach. And you will eat, and you'll be satisfied, and you will bless the Lord your God on the good land which He gave to you. The rabbis derived from this verse that there is a Torah commandment to thank God after we eat. And based on close reading of the verses, the Jewish tradition has it that we say the full Birkat HaMazon after having had a full meal, which involves eating bread. But what's striking is the fact that there were other opinions that held no, anything that you may, you know, most of the important foods that we eat should also engender this kind of extensive blessing, and because everything we have comes from Him. Someone gives you something, you say thank you. One of the striking things is one of the ancient Aramaic commentaries on the Torah says, adds an extra word, or extra couple of words. It says, don't forget to bless God after you've eaten and after you've been sated. Don't forget? What kind of don't forget? I mean, we just had this thing. The answer is no. The answer is that the Aramaic interpretation here, or translation, is saying, picking up on the theme of the entire Parsha. Why does God have to say, remember to say thank you? Why does Torah have to say, remember to say thank you? Oh, this is Moses, actually. Remember to say thank you to God. Again, why? Because you'll say, what? I was the one who grew the food. Or I went to the store, and I got it, and I did all the cooking, and what did God have to do with anything? Kakatu v'achalta v'savata u'veirafta, don't forget to bless God. Now it's interesting. Already in the late 13th, early 14th century, in Spain, somebody, I don't know who asked the question, I know who gave the answer. The question was posed, the whole institution of blessing seems odd. God, I mean, who are we? It's beautifully expressed. I find it expressed, it's found in a response of Rabbi Shlomo Ben Aderet, who was one of the leading disciples of Nachmanides, lived in the late 13th, early 14th century. It's beautifully laid out in a generation later by Rabbi Bachya Ben Asher in his commentary on this verse. And it says, what's this whole business about blessings? Who are we to bless God? God is the source of all blessings. Baruch atah, when we say Baruch atah, do we really mean that we're going to increase God's sanctity? That's ridiculous. Everything that we have is derivative from Him and not the other way around. And so he says, as I said, I recommend Rabbeinu Biafki's comment, but he says, that's exactly the point. When we say Baruch atah Hashem, we're not blessing God. We're acknowledging the fact that He is the source of all blessings. Baruch atah Hashem, you are the source of all blessings. who, as a result, gives us this and gives us that, Hamotzi Lechem in Haaretz and Borei Minei Mizonos, whatever the case might be. In other words, it's a moment of acknowledgement, of gratitude, not an imputation of blessedness or sanctity, because human beings can't do that. In other words, that's, and that's what the Torah is trying to say. Don't forget to acknowledge the fact that everything you have, especially when you're sated and you're feeling, you know, if beforehand, this is actually reflects like Gemara, that before you want to eat, you'll do anything to get the food. But hey, you know what? I'm sated, I'm fine, I feel good about myself, I'm full of myself, I'm full and I'm full of myself, I don't have to worry about God. Dafka then, when things are good, don't forget to acknowledge God, because gratitude divides the road to redemption to the road to perdition. It's interesting that you can have actually two ways of responding to being happy, to being sated, to having eaten. You can be grateful, or you can say, don't bother me. Don't bother me. You know what? I don't need anything. I'm very happy the way I am. Don't make demands on me. It's interesting. When you the word levarech in Hebrew can mean to bless, or it can mean, at the same time, it can mean to curse. It can be a euphemism. So that you could read the verse, and you will eat, and you will be sated, and then you will don't want to hear any more about the fact, I got what I want. I don't want to hear any more about God and all my obligations and whatever. Or you can be grateful. The difference is the difference between one road, which is the road to perdition, and one road, which is the road to redemption, is precisely the question of what does the word uveirachta mean? Does it mean to acknowledge God's gifts? What does it mean? Leave me alone. I don't want to hear any more about my obligations. There is, I've been thinking about, I've been thinking a lot about taking things for granted and the need not to take for granted this week. Because I had the privilege on Wednesday to go to the Temple Mount, to go to Har HaBayit, to stand near the place where the Divine Presence is indwells, and to offer prayers for various people who had asked me to remember their names or names of their loved ones who were sick or who were looking to get married, whatever the case might be, in the most holy, in the holiest place in the world, in the source of all sanctity. When we were driving there, I was telling my wife that it's an incredibly weird feeling. Sometimes I have to pinch myself. And I've lived here almost, pretty much 30 years. That I can make the following statement. I think I'll get in the car, and I think I'll drive to the Temple Mount. What an incredible privilege. And the same thing is true of so many other things in life. Sometimes you need to pinch yourself. And the whole parsha is about pinching ourselves every single time. There's a privilege that we have, or a gift that we have, that looks like it's understood that such nice things should happen, or that we should be given such blessings. Yes, there are difficulties in life, but every single day is full of its blessings, and is also full of blessings. And what we need to do is to stop for a minute and look around, get past kochi botzim yadis asili at the chayalaza. We'll get past everything that we attribute to our own efforts, and understand that with a little bit of gratitude, will be able to stay and to continue to receive God's blessings. Shabbat Shalom. See you next week.